try to get people to cooperate, they just won't do it. We were supposed to talk 10 minutes each, and I told Ray and Glenn if they'd each speak 15 minutes, I'd relinquish my time. And they finished right on the button. Speaking on the topic of layman and Christian missions, I'd like for you to listen as I read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Very familiar passage of scripture called the Great Commission, emphasis on commission and the word mission. Jesus came and spoke of them to saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The word commission is made up of two words. I guess co-worker, cohabitat, commission. The word mission, we are together for a purpose of accomplishing a mission as Christians. And I've looked in the dictionary to try to see what the word mission might mean. On television, we have Mission Impossible. On the Army, we all sent on missions. So I thought, well, it would be interesting to look at what the definition of mission might be in the dictionary, how Webster, Merriam would be looking at it. And it was very rewarding to me to find that the first definition listed in Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary was the following: a sending forth of men with authority to preach and to administer the sacraments. And that to me was very important, the fact that the word mission means just that, what Jesus has set for us to do in the Great Commission. Second definition was listed as persons sent somewhere to perform a stipulated service, not necessarily preachers, but you and I, members of this church, sent forth to perform a stipulated service. And then third, an organization for doing religious and charitable work among the needy. Now, we've heard of some of the things, as Ray's mentioned, about the Atlanta Association, but did you know that in our state association, we have some 55 missionaries doing full-time work within our state, supported by the Georgia Baptist Association. We contribute to that, and we contribute as members of this church to the work of not only our state, but our home and foreign mission work. Through the cooperative program, and our church tithes its income, 10%, to the cooperative program, we support at home some 2,300 missionaries full-time in the United States and Canada. That's a wonderful work, but there are 12 million of us supporting them. 55 missionaries can do a lot of work, but it requires a lot of money in Georgia. Just think what it requires for 2,300 in the U.S. and Canada. In addition to that, our Foreign Mission Board currently has some 2,700 missionaries in 81 countries throughout the world. Now note that this doesn't really include in the 2,700, the local missionaries, those who have been won by the result of some mission work. These missionaries, as they go into these countries, solicit the aid, and as those are won, local missionaries, in addition, are supported and work through the work of our foreign mission program. With that awesome responsibility standing before a local church, and as I've mentioned right here, some 6,000 people that we support through our giving in this church and our prayers, we might ask, what can we do to support the missionaries in this throughout this program and throughout this work? Well, we can do two things very easily. Number one, we can give. We can give of our time. We can give of our talents, but we can give of our money. I think I heard one of the most beautiful sermons ever preached on giving a couple of weeks ago when Dr. Siegler spoke on this subject. Giving of our money and giving of ourselves. And I would to God that each of us would pray about this matter in our personal lives. Are we standing up and stacking up to what God has in mind for us as servants of His? Are we in the mind and the will of God in terms of our giving? Yes, times are hard. Times are hard for each of us. Times are hard in terms of money and financial planning, and that means it's just as hard for these 6,000 people that we are supporting in this fit mission field. Let's pray about our giving. Let's increase instead of decrease at the time when God's work most needs to be done. So we can give. We can give to the Lottie Moon offering. We can give to the Annie Armstrong offering, and our church can give to the cooperative program. But we also need to give, make this a generous gift above our tithe, not something that takes away from our work of our local church. Secondly, we can give to the, and I think possibly most important, as Dr. Siegler and I were discussing this, we de-emphasize this fact more than we should. We could give to the colleges and institutions, as Ray has brought out in the Atlanta Association, throughout the Southern Baptist Convention. One of the crying needs of our association and of our Southern Baptist Convention is the fact that we need trained Christian leaders. Now, you and I can give of our time freely, but these gentlemen that go through college and through seminaries and come out as ministers of music and as youth workers and education workers and preachers need our support financially. These colleges, you might see the advertisements on television, less than 50% come from tuition. That support must come from us. When you see an opportunity to give of your money to a Christian college, especially a Baptist college, I pray that you would take this matter very seriously. A lot of us can't do it in this life, but we could consider leaving a portion of our estate to that work in our will or something of this type from our insurance funds or whatever we might have in an estate as we settle. I'm sure that the Lord's work would benefit from as a result of us giving of our money and prayers for these Christian colleges and Christian institutions. I think that we as Christian laymen can offer inspirational leadership in our home, which will create an atmosphere that perhaps even our children might more nearly realize the call and the will of God, maybe for mission work in their life. Far too often, we thwart their feelings about mission work. As soon as the child begins to mention the fact that God perhaps is calling him to be a minister or a missionary, we begin to pose all of the problems that he's going to face because we lack the faith in God that God can lead the child to grow to a mature person and be well trained into the mission field. If you as a parent, if you as a layman, have a child or a young man or a young girl in your home that seeking to find the will and the knowledge of God, I pray that you would not be a stumbling block between God's will and the will for that life or that child. And you as a layman, if God's calling you to a special mission service, he's calling you to use your talents. Don't stand in the way of the will of the Lord. We can offer inspirational leadership at home. It's our responsibility as laymen. It's not the responsibility of the Sunday school teacher or the mother, but the mission work will be accomplished when we, even back at our home level, begin to serve the Lord in the way that we are to do. We can have prayer in terms of supporting the missionaries in our homes, in our Sunday school classes, in our GA and RA programs, even locally. We didn't mention much about that, but our local church, Brother Glenn and some others, work very carefully and very closely with our RAs. Now, what can we do as Christian laymen to promote Christian mission activities? We can donate our time. And we know of men in from the Stone Mountain area that have volunteered their vacations. Dentists, doctors, lawyers, even builders, farmers, who 2 weeks each year take the time to, from their busy programs, to go into the mission fields in Mexico. I know of one in particular from our church whose father does this. They give of their time. They give of their energies. You say, what can I give to the Lord? The Lord's given you the talent, as Glenn has said. He's given some the ability to preach, some to teach, some to heal, some to do nothing but farm. And God expects us to use that. He demands that we use our abilities as missionaries for him wherever we go. I pray that God would use you and me as counselors in summer camps, as counselors for choir trips, wherever God has a purpose for you. You as a missionary, you can spread and use God's leadership for furthering his cause. And then, how do we take our mission activities into our business life? And we could talk about the Southern Baptist Convention. We can talk about the world mission. But I think one of the most important things, as me as a Christian businessman, I need to carry Christ into my job. I have truly tried to live for Christ in the business life for the last 3 to 4 years. And I can say to you that the rewards have been great in carrying God to my fellow workers and my fellow employees. It's difficult to share Christ with a fellow employee. It's difficult because the environment is not such, it's just not conducive to discussing Christ. But in our particular company, about 8 months ago, we started a Wednesday morning fellowship. We've met for 8 months without a Wednesday going by, except when there was a holiday falling on a Wednesday. And we've seen as a result of this prayer time, which precedes the work in my office and in offices of others in the company, we've seen 4 men saved as a result of the mission activity, really, of Christian businessmen. God's had me and others like me there for a purpose. While the company has struggled and had troubles from the time that I've been with it, I was probably one of the few that was identifiable as a Christian in the early days. We have some 20 men who profess Christ in our company as their Lord and Savior out of 80 now. We have some 10 to 12 that meet every Wednesday morning, breaking down the barriers of Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, or whatever it be, with a common mission, and that is to see that our loved brethren get the story and the message of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then finally, we must serve cheerfully. We shouldn't do it grudgingly. God's given us these gifts, and we should use them to the best of our abilities to pay back what Christ has done for us. We can never pay him completely back. If you have a special talent to be a teacher, or a special talent to sing in this choir, or offer leadership somewhere in this church, I pray that it would be within your will and the will of God, and it is God's will for your life that you use that talent. If you would, I'd like for you to turn with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. We'll read one final scripture passage, the 14th through the 16th verses. Romans, the 14th chapter. Excuse me, the 10th chapter, the 14th verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We could replace the word preacher with missionary or witness. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But the saddest thing of all is the first part of the 16th verse. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And I pray that we would not be included in that all.
I don't know when I've been impressed more than I have these minutes that we've listened to these men talking out of their hearts, out of their experiences, and out of their conviction to a redeemed group. At least most, I take it, are redeemed people hearing. How constructive their information has been. How helpful it can be if we heed what we hear. I take it no church is perfect. No church is doing all it could do. We're thankful for what is being done. We're concerned that that shall increase. And we believe that the light of truth concerning the mission of the cause of Christ, and then the program as promoted by a group of churches, give to each person who's saved a challenge to try to witness for our Lord by the way we live, by the way we give, and by the way we support the great movement of sharing the gospel of Christ with this needy world. My friends, the world has always had its problems ever since it started with Adam and Eve. I take it it'll have problems when Jesus comes again. But I'm saying to you that we should be, I think, aware. The world's situation today is crying for help, not just for bread and food and clothes, but for help, a help for soul, a help for mental understanding, a help for fellowship across nationalism, across racialism. This world is bleeding for help. God's trying to speak to us to share what we have with the needs of this world. And the supreme need is the thing of the soul. Out of that soul's condition will come vision, character, love, goodwill, and cooperation. And God knows we need these things today. And if I know anything about what Christianity is, that's the call that Christian makes to every Christian. And that's the call of all unseen saved people make to Christians today. Share the love of Christ through your heart and life with the people out there, beginning at your front door or back door or all the side doors. Right there, begin. And keep it going until we help to the remote bounds of this earth. Thank you, brethren, most sincerely. Every one of you have spoken out of your heart and spoken the great truth of our Savior and Lord. If there's anybody here lost today, God's Spirit is constraining you to hear these words and to heed them and respond by asking God to forgive your sins, and by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from those sins, and stepping forth and professing Him as Lord, then obeying Him in the blessed act of baptism, and becoming a member of a Christian group, and then to grow and grow and glow and glow and go until you've done your best for your Lord. What a challenge to every one of us. So for you who are lost, will you not accept Jesus as your Savior and profess Him by walking the aisle, and by that act asking for membership with a group like this? You who are Baptists and are here, your membership way out yonder, wouldn't you like to share with the group where you're located in giving the gospel to the area around, and on out to remote bounds of the earth? I'll be able to put that in a minute. You come and make that expression of desire of your heart and desire to have fellowship with the Lord and union within His church while we stand and sing 257. You'll please come. May we stand.
Come while you